So after-hours care, as defined in the Medicare benefit schedule, is, well, there's two different categories. There's after-hours, which is after 6 p.m. for memory, and then there's unsociable after-hours, and that's between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. So there's different categories, depending on whether it's just after-hours or unsociable after-hours.
And then this is broken down into urgent and non-urgent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So the urgent after-hours items pay about $130, something like that, about $130 to $150, and the non-urgent ones pay about half that. But they all pay more than the daytime consultation services that GPs can claim.
Which is $37.05.
Well, that's the standard one. That's the item 23 that everybody knows. So, yeah, that's $37.05, and that will be frozen for the foreseeable future.
So what sort of people are getting urgent after-hours service?
Well, that's a good question, Ellen. I don't have access to that information. I don't know the breakdown of the demographic of who's actually utilising that service. But it was interesting to see a service actually embark on a TV advertising campaign recently. And that's the first time in all the decades I've been working in this area that I've ever seen that.
So there was an ad campaign promoting the after-hours service.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one of the features of after-hours services is that traditionally Australians didn't really know how to access after-hours care. So what they would do is ring their GP or they would go to an emergency department. And GPs, to be accredited, have to have after-hours arrangements, and they use deputising services and various other services to meet those requirements. And so if you called your GP, there would be a message there advising you where to go, and that might be a deputised service that would help you after hours.
What do you mean by deputising service?
Well, so it's like the GP outsourcing to another service to say, you provide our after-hours care. But those services do also have to meet certain standards and be accredited. You can't just put your hand up and say, I'm going to be an outsourced, out-of-hours GP deputising service. So there are rigid standards that they all have to adhere to.
What can the after-hours GP offer you as a patient?
Well, that is a great question, because I think they can only do three things. If you think about it, they can write a prescription, they can administer drugs, the drugs that they've got in their bag, or they can tell you to go to an emergency department or see the GP in the morning. So I don't think there's much else that they can do. It's three things: prescribe, administer drugs, or say go to the doctor or go to the emergency department. All they've got is a stethoscope and their doctor's bag. That's my understanding. I mean, I stand to be corrected on that. If there are really sophisticated after-hours providers now that are walking around with small ultrasound machines and things like that, and they do exist, obstetricians and gynecologists quite often have these little mobile ultrasound machines, I think that's unlikely. And therefore, you've got to be thinking about things like, if all they're doing is writing a prescription, and you can't get the prescription, you can't collect it till the next day anyway, was that an appropriate spending of taxpayers' money? If they're just saying go to an emergency department, perhaps you should have gone there anyway. But perhaps there is a valid argument for, administering acute pain relief. That might be appropriate. I can certainly see a need for that.
In my mind, that is exactly what the after-hours... I feel like the after-hours GP service is keeping people out of the emergency department, but you're saying otherwise.
Well, again, there's been some studies in this area, on my reading of those studies, there is no hard evidence at the moment that GP after-hours services actually reduces the incidence of presentations to emergency departments. In fact, there was one study that was published in the MJA in 2009. Medical Journal of Australia in 2009. So it's a little while ago now. But it actually went to great lengths to dispel the myth that general practice after-hours services reduces presentations to emergency departments. So that study came to the conclusion that it didn't. But I think that's probably what we need at the moment. To have a discussion about this, what we probably need is some up-to-date evidence on how many of these patients who are using these services would have gone to an emergency department.
There's another issue in information exchange. So if your family GP has outsourced it, is that information getting back to your GP the next day?
Yeah. So that's a really important issue, which is continuity of care. So your GP typically will know a great deal about you and your health and your family and have been through that journey with you. So if a deputised doctor, an out-of-hours doctor who doesn't know you, comes out to see you, they obviously will not have access to all of that information. And there was a study that demonstrated that after-hours doctors tended to use more expensive medication, and I think there was an increased use of morphine too, and that may not necessarily be a bad thing, but because they don't know you, they have to do something immediate and treat you the best that they can. And there can be no question that these are anything other than appropriately skilled and trained doctors that do have your best interests at the centre of everything that they do. That's not the issue. But then the other issue is, how do they communicate what they've done back to your GP the next day? So how does the GP know what happened to you overnight and those communication channels? And that is a really valid issue that I think needs to be the subject of a study, if it hasn't already been.
There's also concern that there has been an increase in people using this service. I think $195 million has been spent on the urgent after-hours care. Do we know why there is this increase?
Well, look, I think we will continue to see an increase now that the Medicare rebate has been frozen. I mean, doctors are only human, and I just think people sometimes forget that. They're only human, and they will protect their livelihoods. So whilst it's getting harder and harder and harder for GP practices to remain viable, they will look to other models of operating. And I think you'll see the rise of entrepreneurial GPs. And then this is available. This is available in the Medicare benefit schedule. They're not doing anything untoward in relation to claiming under the schedule. It's there. And so, you know, it's a fee-for-service scheme. And I know it's simplistic to say it, but where there's a fee, there'll be a service. And where there's a higher fee, there'll be more service. So these fees are higher. It's harder to maintain a viable general practice. So I think you'll see quite a lot of this. I think it'll continue to increase. And I also think you'll see GPs closing their small practices and joining larger corporate organisations where they can share infrastructure costs. And then you'll get an increase in the corporatisation of general practice as well.
So if more doctors are offering this after-hours service, why are more patients flocking to it then?
Well, look, I don't know. Convenience? Like, it's a lovely idea to have a doctor come to you. It's like getting home delivery, isn't it, you know? And I guess that now that if they know that it's available, and people don't know what they need when it comes to their health. So this is pervasive right across the health literature, this concept called information asymmetry, which is basically just a fancy way of saying doctors know more about our health than we do. And what that means is there's an unequal relationship in the room because we don't know what we need. We often need to go to a doctor to know whether we need to go to a doctor. So you can't blame patients. You can never blame Australian consumers and patients because they're doing their best seeking out the healthcare that they need, and we have a fantastic healthcare system to support them. People don't want to go to emergency departments. That's not a pleasant experience. There's long waiting times there. So everything about it is quite attractive in terms of getting someone to come to visit you.